The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish, and he took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning, everyone. If we could begin by kneeling and offering our prayer for vocations. It's in your order of worship as well. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us ask God to give worthy priests, brothers, and sisters to his holy church. O God, we earnestly beseech thee to bless this diocese with many priests, brothers, and sisters who will love thee with their full strength and gladly spend their entire lives to serve thy church and to make thee known and loved. Bless our families, bless our children. Choose from our homes those who are needed for thy work. Mary, Queen of the Clergy, pray for us. Pray for our priests and religious. Obtain for us many more. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. You can see by our baptistry that we have, after this Mass, a baptism. We actually had one prior to this Mass, or after the last Mass. Ignatius Heller was baptized into the church. And today, where are you? Gabriel, John, there you are, way back there. Gabriel John Murphy, right? All right. And the Murphys are all sitting on the right side of the church. See, that's the St. Patrick's side. You see that? My sister knows to sit on the St. Boniface side. She's a Heilman. This is the German side, all right? Is there anybody here for the baptism that needs to move over to that side? Actually, back in the day, so this church was built in 1888, there was such a thing, you know, where the Irish would sit with the Irish and the Germans would sit with the Germans, and it was outrageous if you ever married across the aisles, right? But taint that blood, yeah. But so here we are, before, as we always see. Hey, one of you guys, you want to turn the light on up there? Do me a favor. This will be a profound moment as I'm speaking about it right now. Other side. There it is. Boom. The light on the cross, the crucifix. So, in virtually every church, you know, that's where we face, right? Because why? Because what we're doing right now is the representation of that holy sacrifice, okay? And so, in essence, what we're doing is making up for all those jamokes, right, who abandoned him at his time of need, okay, at his time of sacrifice, his suffering. You know, and even Peter, you know, the first pope of ours, would deny him. I don't know who he is. I don't know who he is. You know, so how does he get on his high horse in today's reading? Peter said to the people, he's the God of Abraham, so whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence when he had said this, when he decided to release him. You denied the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you, the author of life you put to death. Well, I don't know how he gets on his high horse. Isn't that a pot calling the kettle black here? I mean, he's the one that notoriously denied him three times. But if you read on, he cuts them a bit of a break. Now, I know, brothers, that you acted out of ignorance, just as your leaders did. Acted out of ignorance. They just didn't simply know better, okay? And so it comes around full swing to us. We who are properly catechized, hopefully, who understand what Jesus did for us, how can we not make up for what Peter and the boys did in running, bolting, hiding, abandoning Jesus at his greatest moment of need? We are doing the opposite. We are coming now before the foot of the cross in this representation of that holy sacrifice. That's what the Mass essentially is, okay? We are at the foot of the cross saying, I want to be with you. I want to be with you. And in essence saying, I want you to be with me. And so St. John would say in the second reading, he would say that, my children, I'm writing this to you so that you may not commit sin, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is expiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for those of the whole world. He is our advocate. That's a term that means he's like our defense lawyer, right? He stands with us before the throne, the judgment seat of God, before the throne of God, and he pleads our case. In other words, at our greatest time of need, he doesn't bolt. He doesn't abandon us. He stays true to us. Advocate in the Greek is parakletos, okay? Which actually means one who stands with you. One who stands with you. I always said, you know, probably more torturous to Jesus. You know, there's an awesome scene in the great movie that recounts Jesus being arrested and taken away, where there they are in the courtyard as Jesus is being hauled away. And Jesus looks across the courtyard and overhears the conversation. Hey, weren't you with him? I don't know the man. Cock-a-doodle-doo. The cock crows. Peter had denied his friend. I don't know who he is. Okay? It's that Peter moment. Right? I don't know who he is. I don't know what you're talking about. I kind of think that more than nails in his hands or a spear in his side, to see those who he was closest with bolt, abandon him, had to be more torturous to Jesus in that moment. So, of course, for all of Christian history, until Jesus comes again, we would gather and make up for that most horrific, torturous moment when Jesus was abandoned. We can't abandon him. We have to rush to his side. We have to do what Peter and the apostles didn't do, didn't have the courage to do. We have to stand with Jesus. And those haunting words just keep coming back to me. I know I'm doing this 2 weeks in a row, but I'm going to do it anyway. We had an amazing speaker a week ago Friday, Matt Walsh. But I'll never forget, in fact, I've watched the video I think 20 times now, especially replaying the end part where he recounts, listen, that day will come where we'll all stand before the judgment throne of God. And then he goes on to describe what it's going to be like. But there we are, naked, trembling. And God will ask us what? One question. What do you want? What do you want? And in that moment, Matt says, you know, those who shed their blood, the blood of the martyrs. I already answered that question. I want you more than my life. So they pass through. But for us, what do we want? Or what did our life reflect what we wanted or who we wanted? Become very good friends with a priest, Father Bill Peckman. And he wrote something that was quite stirring. I kind of think that because it came right after we released the video of Matt Walsh, that maybe this was a reflection based on that stirring imagery that Matt gave to all of us. Father Peckman wrote, usually when given the choice between two things, we choose the one we believe to be the better advantage. When we choose sin, for example, we are saying that the sin is of greater advantage for me than doing the moral thing. When we choose to skip Mass, we are saying to God that worship of Him is of lesser value than what we have chosen. When given an opportunity to strengthen our youth's faith, and we choose something else, say a sport, we tell them that faith is of lesser importance than what is being chosen. We condition ourselves and our youth to see things of God as of lesser importance than the things of the world. While there are many contributing factors, perhaps this helps account for the emptying of the churches in the West. Maybe that helps in why so few practice the faith but demand its rewards. Here is the kicker. Even though we regulate God and faith to being secondary, if even that, we expect God to be a security guard, a sugar daddy, and a spineless wimp who enjoys our neglect so much, he allows us into heaven to ignore him in heaven as on earth. What do you want? God will ask us. What have our lives reflected in that? Have we wanted everything and everybody ahead of God? And so he says, you know, God, don't you get it? I want me. I want me. I don't want you, I want me. Or can we face God on Judgment Day and say, you know what? I'm lost without you. I can't imagine my life without you as my paracletus, my advocate, in my presence, by my side. I can't imagine a life without being in that state of grace, which means I have not offended you so much that I have broken that bond. No, I need you. I need your life. I need your love. I need your power. I need to know that when I face these challenges of life, you're right here, not over there, because I left you. No, you're not my vending machine. No, you're not something I put in a glass box with a sign underneath in case of emergency break glass. No. I need you here. I need you now. I need you there for all times. God, I need you.